You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Turn in your Bibles. You got your Bible with you? You probably have it on a phone at the least. Come on, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and then you can also turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. That's in your New Testament. It's probably about two-thirds of the way through your New Testament. Matthew 7, Hebrews chapter 10. While you're turning, I just want to welcome everybody who's joining us live online right now. We're excited that you are hanging out with us and checking us out. This is week two of our Time Capsule series. And hey, if this is your first week joining us for Time Capsule, I just want to encourage you, go back and listen to last week's message. Listen, get online and listen to that thing. It's foundational for this series. Not only is it foundational for the series, but we also talked about how we can accurately identify the foundations that we are currently standing on, okay? How, according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, spiritually speaking, listen, you and I are either, we're standing on a solid rock right now, or if we're honest, and listen, with so much grace, nothing but grace, okay, maybe our foundation right now looks a little bit more like a sandbox, okay? Here's the good news, we're all in this together, amen? We don't expect anybody to walk through the doors having it all figured out. We're here to help each other, so welcome home. And so I've got a bucket. Some of you guys will remember this. I got a bucket of bedrock right here. And then I got a bucket of sand over here. And don't y'all worry, I'm not going to dump it out this Sunday. I just have to share this. If you were here last Sunday, you'll remember that at one point in the message, I just started shoveling sand out onto the platform, and then later I just dumped the whole bucket out. I think we figured out who all the OCD people are in the room. Some of you guys could not take the mess on the stage. Like, I just heard audible groans every time I dumped sand. I don't remember which service it was in, but in one of the services, when I finally dumped the whole bucket, I just heard this woman, she goes, "Oh, no." She couldn't handle it. Either that or it was the best Holy Spirit conviction ever. Maybe we'll go with that. All right, hey, do you have your Bibles open to Matthew 7? We're going to look at verses 24 through 27. Let's look at these together again this week. I want to continue to invite you to identify the foundation that you are standing on right now. According to Jesus, what's your foundation made of? And then together, we're going to keep identifying the next steps that God is telling us to take. Okay, so that we can build our lives on the solid rock. His name's Jesus. Okay, but so that with him and through him, we can then build those lives that he has for us, those lives of love and joy and peace and blessings and harvest and wisdom and impact and significance. Okay, so Jesus says right here, verse 24, he says, anyone who listens to my teaching and, here's the key, follows it. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Jesus says they're like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Okay, though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse. It's not going to collapse in the midst of a tremendous storm because it is built on bedrock. It's built on Jesus. It's built on his word, doing what he says. Okay, but on the other hand, Jesus says, anyone who hears my teaching, they hear it and doesn't obey it, is foolish. Jesus says they're like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, here's what actually happens. The foundation gets washed out from underneath the house. And so the result is, Jesus says, and it will collapse with a mighty crash. Okay, so here's the idea for this series. One more time, listen to me. What does your life look like right now at this point in time? Okay, if you're totally honest, what's really going on? What is the real struggle? What do you need God to do in your life? And then, what is the next step that God is telling you to take right now, okay? So each week, we're gonna focus in on the major steps that we have for you to take around here at The Gathering. You could even call these the spiritual disciplines of the faith that you and I need to build into our lives, okay? And then towards the end of the series, we're gonna give you the opportunity to write down a prayer to God, okay? We're gonna privately, you can write down a prayer to God where you get to tell him what's really going on. Where you get to tell him the real struggle. God, this is what I need you to do in my life. I'm talking, you can write down the big prayer request. You got me? And then right along with that, we're gonna invite you to write down the next step or steps that God is telling you to take. Here's what I'm wondering. What could your life look like a year from now if you start taking those steps? Okay, here's where this time capsule concept comes into play. We're gonna give you envelopes for you to seal your prayers in. We're then going to put all of our time capsules, our envelopes, into a time capsule together with a 1 year countdown timer on it. And then 1 year from now, we're going to have a very special time capsule Sunday where we give them back to you. And I guarantee, for those of you that follow through, for those of you that actually take the steps that Jesus is telling you to take this year, listen to me. For those of you that do what God wants you to do, I'm telling you, when you open up your time capsule next year, you're gonna be shocked by what God has done over the course of this year. I'm talking finger in the light bulb socket shocked. Some of that Edison medicine. Some of you just got that. Pass out on the floor shocked by what God has done in your life over the course of this year. Come on, who wants it? Who wants the rock solid life versus the sand life? Okay, listen. Who wants to experience God like never before and grow in your relationship with him, get to know him more than ever before and build that life of love, hope, peace, joy, blessings, harvest, wisdom, impact, and significance? Do you want it? Okay, I'm telling you, you can have it. You really can, but there's only one way it will happen, and that's if you actually do what God is telling you to do. Okay, and this is crucial to understand and accept as well. You gotta understand this. God has already given you access to everything you need, every tool, every resource, everything you need to start building a life with him. Okay, we saw in Matthew 7, it said both of those guys had access to his word. They both heard it. It's just that one guy actually did it and the other guy didn't obey. So you got to understand this, church. You got to accept this. Listen to me. God is not and has not been holding out on you. Okay, so you can't use that as an excuse. Okay, you can't blame God. So the very tough question that we have to ask ourselves throughout this series is, where are you and I holding out on God? Okay, what's the step or the steps that we have thus far not taken or even not been willing to take, okay? But now, get stoked, because we just read in Matthew 7 that anyone can do it. Anyone! Come on, anyone you have access to God's word, right? Anyone can build their life on the word of God. Anyone who hears it and follows it can have that life that stands firm no matter what. Let me ask you, are you an anyone? Well, you just don't know, Pastor. You don't know what I did in high school. I probably disqualified myself. No, anyone. Well, you just don't know what my dad was like. This is just the way our family is now. It's the way it's always going to be. No! Anyone! He didn't put any pre-qualifiers on here. He didn't say you got to be like this social status or have this much or have done this. He said anyone who listens to his word and does what he says. So I'm telling you, you can have it no matter what you're standing on right now, no matter what your relationship looks like with God. Now, it can flourish. You can build your life with God. And I'm telling you, if you will give us the next year of your life and take the steps that we have for you to take, I guarantee you, when next year rolls around, your life is going to be so much stronger with God. Come on. So the only question really left is, who's ready to get started? Come on, let's do this thing, all right? So listen, here's the first of a bunch of major steps, okay? A handful of major steps we're gonna talk about throughout this series. And I'm telling you, this is a step that anyone can take. All right, you ready? This is step number one in our series. It's called making a commitment to Sunday gatherings. Making a commitment to this thing we're doing right here today. I'm talking about church. making a commitment to be here with us on Sunday morning. Okay, so in some sense, listen to me, congratulations. You made a really good choice today. Come on, I love it. And listen, I'm gonna be serious for a moment. I do know, I realize there are some of us that right, we had to make the choice. We woke up this morning and there were other things that were trying to pull us away, or maybe even temptations, or maybe just even that thought that, man, I'm not worthy. I don't know if I can go. You made the right choice. Listen to me. So are you all going to show up again next week? I didn't hear it from everybody. If everybody says we're going to show up next week, we can probably just get out of here right now. Stay in your seats, everybody. Okay, listen, here's the question you have to ask. How important are Sunday gatherings to you? How much of a priority is this? And let me just remind you, honesty is required, okay? We need to accurately identify what we're currently standing on right now if we're going to build the life that God wants us to have. We need to be able to know how we're going to make the right adjustments, okay? So how committed are you? How much of a priority is this for you? And here's how you can begin to answer that question, okay? How consistent are you? How consistent do you show up with us, okay? And again, I'm telling you, honesty is required because here's what we'll tend to do in our minds. We'll blow it out of proportion. We might be like a person that says that really actually comes like once a month, but then somebody asks you, do you go to church? And you're like, oh yeah, I go to the gathering. I'm there every time the doors are open. Okay, I had a pastor friend, I just talked to him about a week and a half ago. He is in a small town out in the middle of nowhere. He pastors a church called New Hope Church. There ain't any other New Hope churches around. But so he was getting his car worked on one day, and he just started talking with the mechanic, and the mechanic had no idea who he was or that he was a pastor. But so my pastor friend just started talking with him, and he said, hey, do you go to church anywhere? Where do you go to church? And the guy looked at him and goes, yeah, I go to that New Hope Church, which caught my pastor friend by surprise because he does not go to New Hope Church. In fact, he didn't even realize he was talking with the pastor. And so my pastor said, he looked at him. He didn't tell him that he was the pastor. He just looked at him and goes, that's amazing. I go to New Hope Church. And the guy looked at him. Get this, though. The guy looked at him and goes, huh, wow. Well, I guess we must go to different services. So honesty is required, okay? So listen, let's explore a couple of different realities, okay? What happens in your life when Sunday gatherings are a priority and you're with us consistently? And then what happens in your life when they're not a priority and you're not with us consistently? Now, in order to have that discussion, though, I really think we need to define the word consistent. We need to understand what that is, okay? Here's where we'll start, just right here. You are with us more often than you're not, okay? But let's dive in. If it's a four Sunday month, you're here for at least three of them, and probably four on a pretty regular basis. If it's a five Sunday month, you're here for at least four of them. Okay, listen. Here's probably a better way to think about it. If there's 52 Sundays in a year, there's 52 Sundays in a year. So maybe you miss 5 to 10 max. I know some of you think I'm crazy right now. Some of you think I'm being totally unrealistic. Your pastor isn't crazy, okay? If I'm crazy about anything, it's being crazy about what I know can happen in your life when you step away from the sandbox and you step onto the solid rock. I know what can happen in your life when you start doing what God tells you when you start doing what He tells you to do. In Matthew 7, again, Jesus says, anyone who hears my teaching and follows it, does it, takes the steps, commits, He says, they're wise. Church, that's solid rock thinking. You want to know what sandbox thinking is, though? It's when you say, I wonder what the bare minimum is that I can do with Jesus and still be good to go. I wonder if I can just show up once or twice with Jesus per month and still be okay with Him. No, that's sandbox life. So listen, in order to build on the solid rock, you actually have to do what Jesus tells you to do. And I've got good news again. I told you last week that we are going to make it so easy for us to understand what God is telling us to do, that with all of these steps, we can actually see in the Bible that these are steps that Jesus is telling us to take. So I'm telling you, even with this step right here, you don't have to question, Jesus, is this a commitment you're wanting to make? Yes, it is. Okay, you want to see it? Let's look. You guys got your Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Here we go. Here's the word of God. And let us, that's you and me, right? Let us not neglect our meeting together. Would you agree with me that this is our meeting? Right? Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do. But here's what we need to do. I want you to remember this. Encourage one another, especially now that the day of his, Jesus's return, is drawing near. All right? And so get this. Those words in our meeting together, in the Greek, that's actually just one word. Okay? It's the Greek word episunagoge. Let's say that. Episunagoge. Okay. Do you know what that word can literally be translated as? The gathering. Some of you just got deep conviction in your hearts. Come on. It's saying, let us not neglect the gathering. Holla. Come on. You want to know what those words, let us not neglect, mean in the Greek? Let us not neglect. Let us not neglect the gathering. It means show up. It means be consistent. It means this isn't a decision you give over to your feelings. You don't let your feelings decide. You don't get to wake up on Sunday morning and say, it's cold, or I just don't feel like it. No. You don't get to approach the week and say, well, this weekend there's something else coming up that I feel like doing a little bit more. No, you make a commitment. Family, is your Bible the word of God or not? Okay, so listen, are you seeing that if God doesn't want you to neglect the gathering, then that means he wants you to commit to show up at the gathering? He wants this to be something that's consistent in your life. And so check this out. Here's something I noticed this week, okay? Just like there were two different individuals or two different types of people in Matthew 7, one who did what Jesus wanted him to do and the other who did not, even right here in Hebrews 10, we just saw two different kinds of people. Come on, let us not neglect the gathering as some people do. You see that? Come on, in other words, let us be consistent. Let us be committed. Let's not be like those folks who don't prioritize and end up neglecting what God wants for their life and end up standing on sand. Well, Pastor, I hear that God is technically saying that, but listen, you just don't know how much I enjoy fishing on the weekends. Or no, well, Pastor, I hear that, but I've got all these house projects I got to get done. Sunday morning is my time. Or well, Pastor, well, I hear that God is saying that, but you don't understand. My kids really want to go do this instead. Now, listen to me. I understand what happens in your life when you do what Jesus wants you to do, and I understand what happens in your life when you don't. Okay, and besides, listen to me. I realize there's all kinds of other things we could be doing right now, all right? And if we're honest, usually we end up choosing those other things. Listen, if we're honest, it's because we're trying to get some sort of happiness out of them, right? I mean, look, I get fishing isn't a bummer, right? I get that there are all kinds of activities that you could do. Look, fishing isn't a bummer, but when you replace what God wants you to do with fishing, you don't end up with a life that lasts. Okay, I get that there are all kinds of other fun activities that we could do on a Sunday morning, but when you replace what God wants you to do with just other fun activities, you don't end up with a life that lasts. Besides, listen to me, for those things, we're trying to get some happiness out of him, but I'm telling you, many of us have not yet tapped into the Jesus life, the level that he wants us to tap into, to realize that the most fun, the most joy, the most fulfillment is actually found in him. Okay, let me read from Psalm 94. I'm going to read verses 12 through 13. I want you to see this. Okay, this is in Psalms, but it essentially says the same exact thing as Matthew 7, only it adds something really cool at the beginning. Watch this. Joyful. Joyful are those you discipline, Lord. And now he's going to explain this line. Watch. Those you teach with your instructions. Come on, those who actually hear the word and do what he says, they're joyful. And then here we go. Here's the end result. You give them relief from troubled times. Is that not the same as Matthew 7? You build up a house that lasts. God stands with you. And so I'm telling you, joyful are those who actually do what God says. The people that are having the most fun in life, the people that are actually the most fulfilled, are those that have tapped into the Jesus life that he really has for you. You can have it, okay? When Rachel and I first got married, well, we were married about 2 years. We were living in Kansas City. I wasn't a pastor yet. And we went to church every Sunday. Listen, we loved our church. We served there all the time. We tithed there. We showed up all the time. But there was one week where we got this notion in our heads. And this is what we said to ourselves. We said, you know what? We just never take a day off to ourselves to relax. Now, keep in mind, parents, this was before we had kids. If you're a mom or dad, you understand that when you look back on your life, every day before kids was a relaxation day. So we were naive. But we said to ourselves, we were like, you know what? Let's take this Sunday off. Let's just stay home from church. We'll even watch a sermon online. So we'll get some good preaching. We'll technically have church. But we'll sleep in, we'll drink coffee, and we will just relax. Okay, listen to me. We hated it. I'm not even messing around. It was so weird. Okay, we felt empty. And not just in the morning, but the whole rest of the day, we felt empty. I'm hoping, can anybody relate to that feeling? Something happens in your life when you actually show up to Sunday gathering. Right? Something actually happens. There's a difference that takes place. And hey, listen, we even watched a sermon online. We got good preaching that morning, but listen to me, can I tell you something? Yes, please watch sermons online during the week. Streaming live services even has its place, but you can't stream family. You can't stream all the church culture into your living room. Okay, you can't stream that smile you get from a greeter when you show up, or that encouragement you got from a friend, or that hug you got from a friend, or that hand that was on your shoulder as the prayer leader prayed for you. Or you can't stream the love and the care and attention that your kids get in our amazing kids ministry. You can't stream the very unique presence of God that shows up when God's people gather together. There is no substitution for the real thing. And so then, listen, if you're, forget streaming, if you're doing other activities altogether, then you're missing out on it completely. So look, if you're having a hard time seeing why Sunday gatherings needs to be a consistent spiritual discipline that's built into your life, then listen, perhaps it's because you don't understand why we have Sunday gatherings, why we're actually doing these things, okay? So back to our two realities. Let's talk about why we actually do this and what happens in your life when you show up, okay? And then let's, by default, we're essentially going to talk about what happens in your life when you're not here with us, okay? So church, we could get deeply theological for why we do church, okay? There are some deep theological concepts. What I want to do, though, is take some big concepts and I want to make them extremely practical for us this morning. Now, I just want you to know, are you aware that the church has gathered together weekly? Like essentially on Sunday morning, they started out, they were Jewish, they were meeting on Saturdays, but then they moved to the day where Jesus, the Sunday morning, where Jesus rose from the dead. They started doing that 2,000 years ago. The church has gathered together weekly, and maybe a couple more times throughout the month, neighbor gatherings. They've gathered together consistently for about 2,000 years. Okay, do you want to know why? Okay, here's the big concepts broken down. We're gonna break them down even further, but here's why. Listen to me. For our mutual encouragement from God and each other. One more time. For your mutual encouragement from God and each other. Okay? This is an enormous part of the faith. Remember in Hebrews 10:25, it said, let us not neglect the gathering, but do you remember what the next part was? Let us encourage one another. Okay? God knows that you and I need each other and him, and we need each other and him consistently in our lives, okay? So I got three quick points, okay? I'm gonna break down what actually happens here on Sunday morning, why we're actually doing these things together, okay? Follow me as I break these down. I'm gonna start with the mutual encouragement concepts, and here we go. You ready? Number one, all right, here's why you need Sunday gatherings in your life, okay? When you aren't with us, we miss out on your encouragement for us. When you aren't with us, we miss out on your encouragement for us. Okay, here's a big theological concept made very simple, okay? When you get saved, when you become a Christian, do you realize that you actually become, spiritually speaking, you become a part of the body of Christ? Okay? You listen, the church here on earth, Jesus is in heaven, but the church here on earth, the church together, not individually, the church together represents Jesus to the world and to each other. Okay, watch this. We're going to see this play out. I'm going to read from Romans 12, 4 through 8. Paul talks all about this. I want you to pay very close attention to this. He says, just as our physical bodies, okay, our physical bodies have many parts, and each part, I got some parts that jiggle a little more than others, but each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, in God's grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So watch. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, to encourage somebody with a word from God, and I'm gonna add in the foregone conclusion that Paul doesn't mention right here, but watch this. If God has given you the ability to prophesy, then show up consistently and speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Okay, if your gift is serving others, then show up consistently and serve them well. If you are a teacher, then show up consistently and teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, then show up consistently and be encouraging. If it is giving, show up consistently and give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, show up consistently, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness, show up consistently to others. I got that out of order, but you know what I'm saying. Do it gladly. And then he sums it up with this. Don't just pretend to love others. Don't just say, oh man, yeah, I go to that church. Yeah, I'm there every once in a while. Don't just pretend to love others. Show up consistently and really love them. Okay, has Jesus saved you? Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Okay, you're a part of the body of Christ. And so here's why you need to be with us consistently, because we are not whole without you. And we need you. We need encouragement from you. God is working in and through your life, and we need to receive it from you. God has actually gifted you, and we need to receive from the gifts that He is pouring out in and through you. Some of you have never thought about church this way before. But I'm telling you, listen to me, the church is strengthened by what God is doing in and through your life. My life is strengthened by what God is doing in and through your life. I would not be the follower of Jesus that I am today had it not been for others in the church who loved me and came alongside me and encouraged me and poured out their gifts into me. They were generous to me. They spoke words of prophecy over me. They loved me. They even gave their life experience and talked about what was really going on. Until I showed up at the church at the age of 24, desperate for Jesus. And it was, I'm telling you, listen, it was Jesus working through people, just like He wants to work through you. It was Jesus working through my pastor and all my new friends that made the biggest difference in my life. Because here, they were honest about what had really happened. I heard about how they had also lived lives far from God. But I could see, and they would even tell me, they'd say, but God is changing everything. He's dealing with my pride gently. He's helping me overcome addiction. I don't fly off the handle in moments of rage anymore. God's even using me, they would say. And I could see, you could see it. Which encouraged me in this way. I began to wonder, I wonder if God can do something in my life too. I wonder if He really loves me too. And so I'd ask people all the time, what are you doing? How is this happening? What did you start doing in your life that this started happening? You know what I'd hear over and over again? Well, I started showing up to church every Sunday and everything just began to change. We need what's happening in your life. Church family, I needed what God was doing in other people's lives. I needed their strength. I needed their encouragement. Listen to me. Here's why you need to commit, because other people need what God is doing in and through you right here and right now. Okay, I wouldn't be able to do this if it wasn't for my church. Well, I'd be a wreck without my church. I would go backwards if I tried to follow Jesus by myself. And come on, think about Newton Reborn. That thing would be non-existent if Brandon was trying to do that by himself. You with me? So listen, here's a thought. Okay, if you think you don't need Sunday gatherings consistently in your life, you're selfish. I'm going to say something strong before I said that. I'm sorry. You're denying the rest of us what God is doing in your life. Okay, and listen, with nothing but grace, but this is part of the reason some of us have never been able to be consistent in a church before, or we've never been content and we've gone from church to church to church. Grace. But we've shown up to church thinking that it's all about what I can get out of it, thinking that it's here for me. Okay, and I'm not crazy. Some of you don't totally believe that, but if you want to drive me a little bit crazy, this is a phrase that kind of drives me crazy. It's when people, I hear this, okay, from time to time. I didn't get fed at church today. Pastor didn't feed me today. Showed up at church, but man, there wasn't any meat there today. I just did not get fed at church today. No, listen, you didn't participate in feeding or encouraging anyone else. You didn't. Here's some of the nuanced steps for those of you that aren't showing up consistently. If you didn't get fed, you didn't worship from the heart. You didn't go out of your way to greet or welcome somebody else or smile at them or put your arm around them or love and encourage them. You didn't give anything. And so you walked away feeling empty. Okay, you want to know where this mutual encouragement thing happens? I'm telling you, when you start giving of yourself, and you start encouraging and building up others, God will start encouraging and building up you, and you'll get full. It's not just about you, church, but it is about what God is doing in and through you. Now, listen, maybe you actually believe, though, that God isn't doing anything in your life or that you don't have anything to give. Okay, that's all the more reason to commit and start showing up consistently so that you can give God the opportunity to do something in and through you. And I guarantee it will not take long before you're making an impact. Which leads me then to number two, all right? Number two, here we go. When you aren't with us, you miss out on our encouragement for you. When you aren't with us, you miss out on our encouragement for you. Again, are you seeing how this mutual encouragement thing works? Okay, in the same way that we need to receive from you, you also need to receive encouragement from us. If you are a part of the body of Christ, then you are not whole when you are not with us. And besides, have you ever been encouraged here at the gathering? In your time spent here, has God done anything positive in your life? Okay, so listen, you and I are lying to ourselves if we think that we don't need a consistent dose of each other and God. We need each other consistently. Again, I'm telling you, I will go backwards if I try to follow Jesus by myself. I need the church, and so do you. So here's another thought, okay? If you think you don't need Sunday gatherings consistently in your life, I'm going to say something strong this time, okay? Just giving you a heads up. If you think you don't need that, you're prideful. You're prideful. Okay, and according to Jesus in Matthew 7, you're also foolish. And listen, if it is pride, then you need to be warned. God's word, his word says in other places, in Proverbs, it says that pride comes before the fall. Pride comes and then your foundation gets washed out and your life collapses. No, we need each other. We need each other, church. Listen to me. Here's my encouragement. What if we all just do this? Step away from the sand. step away from the sand, and let's step onto the solid rock. Amen. Here's point number three. Watch this. This is amazing, okay? There are aspects of God's presence that we can only experience together. Somebody needs to get excited about this. Do you realize that in the Word of God, this is Hebrews chapter 6, that this is what your Bible says, that the church gathered together gets to taste heaven? Do you realize that your Bible says, Hebrews chapter 6, that the church gathered together gets to taste the power of God and the heavenly age to come? Do you realize that in your Bible, Hebrews chapter 6, it says that the church gathered together gets to share the Holy Spirit of God? There are certain aspects of God's presence that you can't experience any other way. So listen to me, I'm telling you, there is no other social group, there is no other fun group, there is no other community, no other activity or organization that can make those claims, that can even give or can receive those things. Only the church. The church is the only one. In fact, check this out. Jesus actually says that there is a unique manifestation of his presence that is reserved for the gathering or for his people gathered together. Watch this. Matthew 18:20, Jesus says, for where two or three gather together, or 200 or 300 gather together as my followers, as the church, I am there among them. Yes, Jesus teaches us that we are to spend time alone with him in his presence privately. We're to pray privately and worship on our own too. That's a major step for your life. We're going to talk all about it. But you need to understand that will never be the fullest, deepest, most joyful experience of God's presence that he has for you. That, my friends, is reserved for the church gathered together. Come on, think about this. Did Jesus come to the earth to redeem just individuals following him separately, or did he come to redeem a family? Nobody's as pumped as I am right now. Come on. Heaven isn't going to be you just following Jesus by yourself. Heaven is going to be the nations, a family of God. We're going to be together worshiping Jesus. I'm going to be all up in your business. I mean, popping out from behind bushes, told you so. We're not here in Newton just to see some individuals reborn to follow Jesus. Come on, we're here for a population. We're here for families and friends and people together. I can't wait for the day that we're going to have our Easter Sunday gatherings right out here on Main Street, block off the streets, have service right in the middle of 6th and Main with gatherers, with a population, with a church family filling up the streets. And I guarantee you there will be a special presence of God on that day that we cannot experience if we're all by ourselves. Whew. Think about it. Okay, listen, here are some of the major things we do on Sunday mornings. Okay, and here's just a few of the ways that we receive mutual encouragement from God and each other. Okay, so listen, we connect with each other relationally on Sunday mornings. We greet each other. We connect with one another. We smile at each other. We laugh together. There's hugs. I see hugs every Sunday morning. I see hands getting shook. Sometimes we cry together. We put our arms around each other. We remind ourselves that we're here for each other and we're not going anywhere. We serve together on Sunday mornings. We use the gifts that God has put in us to bless and encourage others, and then God blesses and encourages us in the process. We sing worship. We worship God together. We sing songs together. The band encourages us to sing. They lead us into the presence of God with praise and with worship. And listen, even if you showed up with a heart like this that just said, God, I want to give you everything that I've got. And even if you showed up, you said, God, I want it to be all about you. I'm not even interested in getting anything for myself. You still can't outgive God. And so he's going to encourage you. You're giving Jesus praise. He's going to sing over you. He's going to wrap you in his arms. He's going to remind you that he loves you and that he's got you. He's not going anywhere. We take communion together. We encourage each other all the time. Don't hold back from the presence of God. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, if you've given your life to Jesus and come, hold the evidence of God's unconditional love for you in your hands. You can be encouraged. And listen, if that's not enough, we internalize his love. We preach the word every Sunday, and I show up with major encouragement and hot fire every time. You're welcome. Some of you aren't impressed at all. No, listen, God encourages us. And here's what he does. He uses the word of God like a scalpel in our lives to perform surgery on our hearts. Some of you are like, yes, this hurts today a little bit. Okay, but he heals us up. He makes us stronger. He gives us more freedom. He helps us understand his word and how we can follow it. He helps us take the steps so that we can step away from sand, step onto the solid rock. His name is Jesus, and build our lives with him. We pray together each Sunday. Okay, we're encouraged by God through prayer. We encourage each other by praying for one another. And then last but not least on my list, we're generous together. We give our tithes and our offerings on Sunday mornings, and those things go directly towards building up and strengthening the church and pouring out, helping us pour out even more Newton Reborn and more of the ministry that God has for us to give. And we pray this almost every Sunday. We say, God, let this church family be a conduit of blessing for every person you're going after. Do you realize when you are generous, when you're generous individually, you actually are the conduit? But then think about it. What happens when we join together? When together on Sunday mornings, we bring our tithes and our offerings. You know how big that conduit gets? You imagine what this church is going to look like when there's 1,000 people showing up here in that conduit. It's just enormous. Newton Reborn like that. Come on. So church, do you understand what these things do in your life when you do them consistently, when they're consistently a part of your life? I'm telling you, these things, they grow your relationship with God. They grow you. They change you. They heal you. They strengthen you. They bless you. They lead you to freedom. They disciple you. They make you into that disciple who makes disciples. They lead you to that life of love, joy, peace, blessings, wisdom, harvest, and impact, and significance. So family, this is week two, but can you see why I'm saying that if you just take the steps that we're telling you to take, okay, you will be shocked by what your life looks like even just 1 year from now. Some of you aren't even going to have to wait that long. You're going to begin to be amazed by what God is doing. You can build your life on a firm foundation. His name is Jesus. He's not holding out on you. Here's what I'm asking again. Listen, just with honesty and nothing but grace, we just need to answer this question between ourselves and God. God, help me understand, or just, I'm going to be honest, here's where I've been holding out on you. Here's the step that I know I need to take. Here's the steps you've been telling me to take, and I haven't taken those yet. Nothing but grace. But what happened? Come on. Family, I want it so bad for you. What happens when you start taking those steps and you build your life on the solid rock? What step does God want you to take? Come on, what's the step that you need to take? Here is my encouragement this morning. Listen to me. Here's your step today. I want you to commit that the gathering is going to be your church home for the next year. I want you to make that commitment that the gathering is going to be your home church, that Sunday gatherings, here's your next step today, that Sunday gatherings are going to be a priority in your life. That you're going to make a decision. God, I'm going to be committed. I'm going to do what you're telling me to do, and I'm going to build my life on the rock. Okay, I keep stepping over here, but listen to me. This stuff works. Okay, this was designed by Jesus so that you and I, so that we don't have to stand on sand, so that we can actually have a life that's strong, that life of love, joy, peace, blessings, wisdom, harvest, impact, and significance. You can have it. It was designed by Jesus for you, but you got to step away from the sand and you got to step onto the solid rock. You got to take the step he's telling you to take. And I'm telling you, if you will just follow through, if you call this place home, if you'll take the steps, you will be shocked a year from now by what Jesus has done in your life. And Jesus, listen, the storms are still going to come. We get that, right? There's still going to be trouble in life, but the difference is going to be your foundation isn't going to get washed out anymore. The difference is going to be you're going to be standing with Jesus. He's going to have his arm wrapped around you, and he will beat back the storm for you. You don't have to collapse anymore. You don't have to start over anymore. You don't have to have that rain cloud, that storm cloud that keeps following you around and it keeps ruining everything, or you keep having to start over, or you don't understand why things don't work out. You can stand on the solid rock. But you've got to make the choice to do what Jesus is telling you to do. My last thing is, what do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose by committing yourself over the next year? I'm telling you, you got everything to gain. Everything to gain. That if you take the next steps a year from now, as you open up your time capsule, you're going to be shocked by what God has done in your life and by how much life has changed for you from this point in time right here. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together, family. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? And are you ready? Are you ready to take the step? Are you ready to commit? Maybe you say, well, I do show up consistently. But listen, don't check out on me. There's even more steps. We're going to keep going in this series. But I'd even ask, is worship happening from the heart? Are you showing up with an attitude that says, who can I encourage and what does God want to do in and through me? What are the nuanced steps that you could take? Who's ready to make that commitment and say, man, I'm ready to show up? Listen, with every eye closed, with every head bowed, just if you're ready to commit today, this is just a step of faith. I'm just asking you, raise your hand. Just tell God, this is gonna be my church home for the next year. I'm ready to make this a priority. I see hands all over this room, two hands in the air for some of you guys. This is amazing. Thank you. You can put your hands down. So I'm telling you, God will honor your commitment. You take the steps and you follow through, and I promise you, you will be shocked a year from now by what God has done in your life. And here's the good news. So what you're doing is you're really just making a decision today. And so you're taking the power away from what happens on Sunday morning when you wake up and you normally would let your feelings decide. You're taking that power away from your feelings right now, because here's what happens. As Saturday rolls around and Sunday morning comes, you don't make the you've already made the decision right here and right now. So you're not making the decision then. You're saying, you wake up and you say, I already made a decision to be committed. Now I just got to manage that decision and actually show up. Come on, you can do it. Jesus, thank you for this church family. Thank you for what you are doing in our lives, Lord. Thank you that you lead us to build on the solid rock. We're stepping away from the sand today. We're saying, Jesus, we're coming to you. Jesus, we're going to hear your word and do what you say. And we just invite you, come and have your way. Come on, you can even begin to tell him now, Jesus, this is what's really going on. I need you to work in it. I need you to change me. I need you to work in my circumstances. I need your help, Lord. Lord, I pray over this church family that as people faithfully follow through, that you would do the miraculous in their midst this year. That they would experience your supernatural presence, your hand on their lives, and that a year from now, yes, Lord, and even sooner, we'd be Holy Spirit shocked by what you've done. Thank you, Jesus. Answer prayers in this place. Have your way. And Lord, make us into that conduit of blessing. God, let this city be reborn through a church family that just wants to keep taking the steps that you have right in front of us. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. And my whole church family said, amen. Can we thank Jesus together, church family? Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.